This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. And I hope all of you are taking advantage of the Black Friday deals on this very special weekend. It is time now in our program to focus our attention on some NBA talk. And let's start off our next conversation by opening up the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, visiting with always a Big E favorite. That is Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio. He is one of the hosts there, does a fantastic job, still recovering from all the an over dose of all that turkey, right? Are you doing okay,
Absolutely.
Mitch?
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners. How you doing?
Oh, we love having you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, so let's start right here in our backyard. We are located here in Houston, and James Harden, he's been off to a sensational start, and he's averaging some big-time numbers. Is he at the forefront of the MVP race for you? I mean, how would you evaluate him?
Well, yeah, since the Rockets are winning and he's done a great job taking over in Mike D'Antoni's offense, he's got to be among the leaders at this point, no question. I mean, you know, you talk about MVPs. Obviously, you've got Kevin Durant, who's off to a great start, and Russell Westbrook. But, I mean, James Harden, you know, when you go back to the coaching change they made, Alyssa, and they brought in Mike D'Antoni, if you look at Mike D'Antoni's history with point guards, wherever he's been, he's done a great job, and point guards really thrive. It's like they go to your utopia system for them. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, you could talk about Steve Nash. Now, Steve Nash in Dallas, before he went to play for Mike in Phoenix, was an all-star, so he was a really good player. Then he became a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
And then in New York, we saw it here when, you know, for a couple of weeks, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, Jeremy Lin went from a kind of a nothing to a overnight sensation and all the insanity. But for what really did it for me and convincing me that Mike is so special with his point guards is when early in his years in New York, he had a guy named Chris Duhon, who really wasn't much of a player wherever he had been in the NBA, and he became an effective starter. So Mike works his magic. The system for point guards are great. And I thought going into this year, because James had, you know, for him, last year was a difficult year, was kind of an off year after making the conference finals a couple of years ago and then struggling to be the eighth seed and having problems with Dwight Howard and not playing well and getting criticized for defense and on and on and on. I thought, you know, James would have, you know, a big turnaround year, a bounce back year. And with Mike D'Antoni and the ball in his hands, that's been a great combination for Rockets and Rockets fans. I picked him not to make the playoffs. I might have to go back and redo that pick now.
When I think about James Harden, I certainly marvel at him offensively, but I just wonder, I mean, Mitch, what do you appreciate the most about his game and what he contributes?
What I love about James Harden is he gets all the calls.
Oh!
He is, you know, it's really, I mean, it drives other people nuts, and it drives fans nuts.
Right.
But, I mean, you got to love the fact that he gets calls. He is so great at getting into position with his body where, whether it's a real foul or not, he's getting the benefit of the call, and that makes him so lethal. I mean, you know, the thing that's amazing is you automatically assume that all superstars go to the foul line. You know, Steph Curry, over his career, he doesn't go to the foul line a lot. He'll go to the foul line 4 or 5 times a game, if you look at his, especially his playoff averages, and that's one of the reasons they brought in Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's a lot like James Harden. He can get to the line, you know, 10, 11 times in the playoff. But I love the fact that offensively, he can kill you, James Harden, with his scoring. He can kill you now with his passing. He can beat you in so many different ways. And in that offense, he's great. But the topper for me is that even if he's not shooting well, he can still get to the line. You know, a lot of guys will put up their volume shooters. They'll take a lot of shots. But if they're not hitting it, they're not going to get to the line. James Harden is always a threat to get to the line. No. At what, 15 times or so. It's amazing what he does.
Well, he is a volume shooter, but I have to point out that he's right at the top in the NBA with assists. I mean, he really is seeming like to be a little bit more cognizant about sharing the basketball and handing it out.
Well, that's the whole thing in Mike D'Antoni's system. I mean, the point guard is supposed to be, he wants to have the point guard be a scorer. And, you know, James is a much more dangerous scorer than Steve Nash ever was. I mean, Steve Nash is really more of a facilitator, although he could shoot. But, I mean, here Mike's got a guy who can get you 30 points, you know, 28 to 30 points a night. And he really does see the floor well. I think the big thing was the Rockets were in New York a few weeks ago, and unsolicited, Mike D'Antoni brought up the fact, Alyssa, that James Harden is a guy who, like Steve Nash and guys like LeBron James, and even a guy like a Jason Kidd from years ago, these guys see things unfold before they happen. The game slows down for them.
Two and three
They're
plays
a
ahead.
Step ahead of everybody. Right. They have that knack, and I think James might have shown that in spurts in the past, but now when he's playing for D'Antoni, I think that's really special. And the great thing about Mike, too, is, you know, if he sees James is going real well, he won't even try to suggest the play because, like Mike says, why even screw it up? So it seems like it took James about 2 weeks to learn the ins and outs of Mike D'Antoni's offense. So he's having a monster year.
You know, I think back to those early years for James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. Do you think Sam Presti, you know, was just kicking himself that he let these guys get away somehow?
Well, it wasn't his decision. You know, that's the owner. And I mean, you know, when they weren't going to pay James Harden, and they decided, you know, we're gonna pick Serge Ibaka, and we're gonna pay him because we need a great defender and a guy in the paint. And, you know, the difference is, and what they should have stepped back and just realized, who changes games in the playoffs? I mean, they went to an NBA Finals because James Harden in the fourth quarter of games was the guy who set up the offense. It wasn't Russell Westbrook.
That's right.
And so I think it's something, if they're kicking themselves, it has to be the owner, Clay Bennett. He should have come up with the extra money for James Harden. And, you know, the lesson there is you can find another Serge Ibaka a lot easier than you can find a James Harden. You can find a guy who's going to protect the rim. You can go out and get an athletic big who might be, you know, he might not be a great offensive player, but how many times can you find a player of James Harden's ability? So I'm sure Sam Presti was carrying out orders. And, I mean, I've never really talked to Sam about his real preference, but it came out looking bad for him. But it really looks bad for the owner because he's the one who didn't want to pay the bill.
That's good clarification. Hey, the host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And, Mitch, where can all of our listeners, they want to follow you online, where can they check you out as well?
Well, they follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Lawrence, and then I do work for SportingNews.com, the Sporting News, and obviously Forbes. I've been with Forbes for about 3 years, so I do work for Forbes.com. Just put up a big column on the Los Angeles Clippers, the best team in basketball.
Incredible.
How about that?
Hey, we're going to talk about the Clippers here momentarily, but we still got to give some more love to the Houston Rockets because the folks here, they are fired up. Should they be cautiously optimistic, or is this a championship contender?
Well, I don't know if they're a championship contender. I think the big thing with the Mike D'Antoni offense, and I wrote about this in Sporting News a few weeks back, the big thing with the Mike D'Antoni offense is that you're going to have all kinds of great offensive numbers and stuff. It's always the defensive end where Mike's teams have problems. And that was even the case in Phoenix when they were going to conference finals and they could never get the big stops in playoff games to get to the extra step, make that extra step, and get to the finals. Always fell short with Steve Nash and, you know, Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion. They had great teams. But defensively, they were never really good enough. And so the thing I think Rocket fans have to worry about is, you know, the ability for the Rockets to come up with stops. It's a tough, you know, now they brought in Jeff Bezdelic, who's a good coach from the old Pat Riley school, to be Mike's assistant in charge of defense. And as Jeff and I were talking about, you know, the big challenge is when you have a high-octane offense that wants to get up and down the court and you've got over 100 possessions a game, that puts a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on your defense. Can the Rockets be the first Mike D'Antoni team which is able to really stop another team? That remains to be seen. I think fans have to view it kind of cautiously. They'll have a lot of fun watching the offense, but there'll be night we'll be tearing their hair out defensively, and you know Mike D'Antoni will be right there with them.
Okay, so we're talking about the Rockets. Let's shift gears a bit. Let's head up to OKC and talk about the Thunder. I mean, Russell Westbrook, he has been a triple-double machine, but what have they shown you so far? Because you can't be a one-man show.
Well, you can't be, but I'm surprised by their start. I mean, look, you know, let's go back to July. They lost Kevin Durant, and you know, when a team loses a guy like Kevin Durant, that is really not easy to overcome. I mean, most teams that lose to Kevin Durant, they're going to get knocked back down a level or two. They were obviously a championship contender. They were, you know, 5 minutes away from going to a second finals, blew that series against Golden State. And, you know, Kevin Durant leaves a team that had been to a conference finals, what, 4 out of the last 6 years. You expect them to take a major step back, but look, Russell Westbrook has been a one-man show, and it's been great, and they've been able to thrive with him. I just don't know if he can do it over the course of a, you know, 6-month season and 82 games, and quite frankly, I thought they'd really be hurt because, you know, you're losing a scoring champion in Kevin Durant, not just an MVP type player, but he puts so much pressure on the defense and gets so many open shots for other players. I just really worried if Oklahoma City was even going to make the playoffs. They need other help. They need another scorer. That's the biggest thing, Russell. You know, he needs a Kevin Durant. You know, he won't get that. They're going to have to settle for a lot less, but it's going to be a tough, very long, hard, difficult season.
Hey, the NBA conversation continues with Mitch Lawrence, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back inside the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows, live and on demand, right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. The NBA conversation continues with Mitch Lawrence, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio. Defensively, who could stop Russell Westbrook?
Well, nobody can really stop him. I mean, what you have to count on is he's not going to shoot well, and he's going to make bad decisions. I mean, those are two things that Westbrook, as much as we all love Westbrook because he's a guy who plays, you know, full throttle all the time, and he's always, you know, among the guys in the league who brings his ferocious competitiveness night in and night out. Not many guys. But he's turnover prone. He's not a great decision maker at times. And he's certainly not a great shooter at times. So those are the type of things he'll end up stopping himself more than anybody else will.
A little did you know, Russell Westbrook now owns 42 career triple-doubles, which ranks second among active NBA players. LeBron James is first with 43. He joins Oscar Robertson as the only player in NBA history to record 13,000 points, 3,400 rebounds, 4,500 assists through his first 600 games. And, Mitch, you've watched a lot of basketball throughout all the years. Who does he remind you of? We're so blessed to have the opportunity to watch him, I mean, but who does he remind you of?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I especially with the way he plays, that high-level energy, there aren't many guys he reminds me of at all. He's a definite throwback. I mean, I love his attitude. He reminds me, in attitude-wise, of guys who played in the 80s. He doesn't want to be buddy-buddy with people. He's just a ferocious competitor. He's a tough comparison. He's a phenomenal athlete. That's what we love him for. I mean, there was a game a couple of years ago. You know, a lot of these arenas, when you go and report games, like going to Madison Square Garden the other night, I'm sitting up in the nosebleed seats, and I'm not complaining. That's just the way it is. We used to be on the floor.
Right.
You know, we used to be at the floor at the Garden, and we used to be able to talk to, you know, you'd be able to hear players, and you'd be able to, you know, figure out what coaches were doing very easily because they were right there in front of you. Well, in Oklahoma City, that's still a place where they'll put you on the floor down there. And I'm telling you what, I saw a game, a wild Knicks game a couple of years ago. This is back in the 2013 season when the Knicks won 54 games and J.R. Smith was the sixth man. The Knicks went in there and won a wild, it was like a 130-125, you know, overtime game. And Russell Westbrook on one play, I swear to God, he took a defensive rebound down. Alyssa, wow. I think he was up the court in like two dribbles. He was at the foul line at the other end.
Incredible.
I mean, when you see it in person, you can't believe how fast and athletic and great he is with the ball in his hands. So he's just he's kind of like a guy you just don't see a lot of other players like him.
The host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, with us. He's back in the saddle at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Thanksgiving weekend. And one of the teams we definitely got to talk about, the team that is at the top of the Western Conference, the best start. You're talking about the Clippers. Give us a hit on them because they have come out of the gates very, very fast.
Yeah, I mean, the other night when they beat Toronto, and Toronto had, you know, played Cleveland twice and Golden State, and they were 0-3 against those two teams. After his team got beat by the Clippers, Dwayne Casey came out and said, guys, this team right here, the Clippers, they're the best team right now in the NBA. And, I mean, you look statistically, everything defensively says they are. They're doing a great job holding down opponents. Offensively, they're clicking. I think a big thing in their favor is they come back with a lot of the same guys they've had the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Alyssa, with free agency and the way players move around, you get a lot of changes in starting lineups. See it here with New York. They got a bunch of new guys in the starting lineup, including Derrick Rose. You got a bunch of new point guards all over the place, whether it's George Hill in Utah, whether it's You know, Jeff Teague in Indiana, Dennis Schroeder in Atlanta. You've got Rajon Rondo in Chicago. That takes a team a while to adjust to a new point guard. Plus, you've got a situation in Houston. Mike D'Antoni's bringing in a new system. How many new coaches are there? And almost half the 30 teams have new coaches. So when you have that, you have a change in how, you know, things have to get done. Doc Rivers is still out there with the Clippers, with Chris Paul. That gives them an advantage with Blake Griffin. These guys have hit the ground running because I think they've got a, you know, there's a lot to be said about the continuity factor the teams have when they don't have to work in new players into their main rotation. So that's a big deal. And the other thing is that Blake Griffin has elevated his play. He had a lost year last year. You got to remember, he got in that fight with the assistant trainer, broke his hand, you know, had the injury to end the season in the playoffs. It was just a lost season. He's come back rededicated, refocused, off to a phenomenal start. They've got two facilitators now. It's not just Chris Paul. They can also get a lot out of Blake Griffin in terms of how he can pass the ball. So those are a couple of keys to why they've gotten off to this great start.
Can they sustain these winning ways and close out? Because the real season gets underway in the month of May.
You hit the question on everybody's mind. I mean, the thing about the Clippers is they've had successful regular seasons in the past, and then in the playoffs, they'll have something crazy happen. They'll have a collapse like they did against Houston in that playoff series a couple of years ago, or last year in the same game against Portland. You know, they lose Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for the year, for the season, and they're done. So that's the big question everybody's asking. Wouldn't it be great to see? I mean, look what happened to the Chicago Cubs this year. You know, so it's not like it can't be done. But, you know, the big problem is when you look at teams and you look at the way the NBA is, the Clippers just don't have a LeBron James. They just don't have a Steph Curry. They don't have Kevin Durant. And so that puts them kind of behind the eight ball unless Chris Paul and Blake Griffin can even raise their play in the spring. I always have a problem. You know, there's some guys who are great regular season players, and in the playoffs they struggle or they don't raise their level. They don't make their players, you know, their teammates better. We've been seeing that out of the Clippers. I think it's time for those guys to step up.
Another team I definitely want to hit on in the Western Conference is the Dallas Mavericks. They are struggling mightily. They're trying to make the most out of just a rebuilding season right now. They've been missing five of their top eight players, so it's been very, very difficult for all Maverick fans.
Well, listen, when Dirk Nowitzki can't answer the bell because he's got an Achilles problem, and they've had all kinds of other injuries to, you know, a lot of their top starters, a lot of their big players. I mean, it's not just, you know, it's Deron Williams, and it's guys like J.J. Barea, who's even a better, you know, a bigger, big-time competitor compared to some of their other guys. It's just impossible for a guy like Rick Carlisle, who's one of the top coaches in the league, one of the top five coaches, I would think. You just can't go into battles game in and game out with Harrison Barnes and a bunch of JV, you know, a JV type of team after Harrison Barnes. So this is the type of thing where it looks like a lost season for the Mavericks. I don't know what Dirk's future is. He's obviously down for another year. He wants to keep playing, but if this Achilles keeps bothering him, I just wonder about his long-term future, if he has one.
Well, Rick's done an amazing job getting these guys ready to play. I mean, even that game earlier this week on Monday night against the Spurs, those guys competed and weren't unable to close out at the end.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to compete. They're going to play hard. What it's going to come down to, it sometimes it's just going to be a manpower problem. Sometimes it's going to be you're playing guys who are playing, you know, starters minutes when they should be playing reserves minutes, and they get diminishing returns when they have to play extra time. But you know what? Most nights they're going to play hard. They're going to have the effort. They're going to be well coached. They're going to have a game plan because Rick and his staff don't do a great job. But look, if you don't have your main guys and you're walking into an NBA arena against a team, especially like the Spurs, as bad as what Popovich said, the Spurs played and they didn't deserve to win, the Mavericks aren't still going to win that game because, you know what, they're going to be outmanned. That's the old expression, you're going to get outmanned.
Always our main guy. That is Mitch Lawrence, the host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, joining us on this Thanksgiving weekend. God's blessings, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, Mitch.
I enjoyed it. Best to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. Stick around. Much more coming your way at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. And we have selected a fun book that I know our younger listeners, you guys are going to enjoy. It is time to hit the ice. We're going to shine the spotlight on a book titled Hockey Karma that has just been released by Animal Media Group and critically acclaimed author Howard Shapiro. Howard, it's his first time on the program. Good evening, Howard.
How are you doing, Alyssa? Thank you for having me on.
I'm doing great, enjoying this Thanksgiving holiday. And I want you to set the stage for all of our listeners, because Hockey Karma, it is what the culminating volume of your Forever Friends trilogy, picking up 10 years after the award-winning The Hockey Saint Ends. Tell us about the series. Tell us about the book. I understand this is your fourth one.
Sure, yeah. It's the fourth hockey theme book that I've done. This is the it's the last book in a trilogy, as you mentioned, which started out, and one thing I always want to point out also is that, you know, anybody who is interested in it, I set it up specifically so that the reader doesn't have to go back to the second book or even back to the first book. I mean, they're interconnected, but they're not, it's not like you have to read the second to know what's going on in the
right.
third. It's, you know, just like if you saw, you know, the sequel to a movie, you don't have to know, you know. Most of the time, you have to know what's going on first to know what's going on.
Right.
These are kind of standalone. So anyway, but it started out in 2012 with a book I did called The Stereotypical Freaks, which is the first graphic novel that I did, which is about these four kids, high school kids in a band, or they form a band to be in their high school's Battle of the Bands. And so when I was promoting that, I was talking to somebody who was in the publishing business and who really liked it, and he said, you know, one of the things that you should think about doing is doing a series. Those actually do very well. And I didn't, I kind of thought of it just being a standalone, and that was going to be it. I wasn't sure what I was going to do next. And so I took that advice and thought, I was thinking how I wanted to do something with hockey again, because I did the two previous hockey books were in 2007 and 2008, and it built up a pretty good audience, and I wanted to get back, and I had a good idea involving hockey. So I did the Hockey Saint, which is connected again to the first one, but not substantially. We just kind of made a little tricky left turn with one of the characters and got into a hockey-type situation, and then this book takes place, Hockey Karma takes place 10 years after that, which is kind of the main character who's sort of like a Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby type, Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. Kind of the best player in the world, is basically at the end of his career due to injuries and wear and tear. And it's basically about the two characters from the prior books, their friendship, but also what this character J.M.R. Jacobson is going to do with the rest of his life. And so it's a lot of fun to do. It's again, there's a lot of hockey stuff in this one, because I got some comments back that, you know, there wasn't maybe enough hockey action in the previous book, The Hockey Saint. And so it was a lot of fun to do and work with a very talented illustrator. And you know, it's like you said, it's been well received so far.
He is the best-selling author. The title of his new book is Hockey Karma. Howard Shapiro is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just tuning in, connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to our entire interview, our entire conversation with Howard and all of our amazing guests tonight at SB Nation Radio at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. So, Howard, it's fascinating. I mean, you have written for children's books, graphic novels, and I'm just curious, I mean, what led you to writing these books and the inspiration behind that? Tell us that story.
Well, I do a few school visits every year, and, you know, I go on and talk about literacy and, you know, and the importance of reading and writing to usually elementary school kids. And the one I was at, this is back in 2010, the librarian, as we were walking out, he goes, one of the things, you know, you should think about doing are these graphic novels. I said, I didn't even know what they were. I mean, I knew what they were, but I wasn't familiar with them other than like the 300, which became a movie. And he's saying that, you know, kids, especially boys who aren't really, might not necessarily be interested in reading, he goes, they love these. They're more or less like expanded comic books. And so then I went to public library and I took out about six of them, and I just really, I mean, I devoured them. I, you know, usually like the first sitting, And I really loved doing them and or reading them, and I thought, you know, it's something new to try. So so I gave it a shot, and it's probably the only thing I'll ever do again because I just love them so much, and they're really fun to do, and it involves a lot of different elements. It's almost like writing a movie because what I do is I write it in sort of a screenplay type of script and give it to the illustrator. And you know, they're a lot of fun to do, and it's a real collaborative effort. And but they're always, you know, they're not necessarily. I mean, the three that I've done aren't necessarily. I mean, I try and impart some life lessons in there, and not like, you know, necessarily hit the person over the head with that. You know, there's a lot, like in this book, for example, there's issues talking about substance abuse and aging and the gender equality gap and all these. Kind of social issues that I kind of am able to weave them in, and that's the beauty of the graphic novel. It gives you that opportunity to do that, and you know, and again, these are not overt. You know, sometimes they're very subtle, but you know, hopefully, when a person's done reading it, they'll, you know, especially if it's a kid, they'll maybe say to their parents or talk to their dad or mom or dad and, or whomever, teacher at school, a librarian, and ask maybe questions about some of the things that are brought up in the story. So. They're so much fun to do, and I hope that comes across to anybody who's reading.
Definitely, yes. Howard Shapiro, his new book, Hockey Karma. You know, so are the characters in the book, I mean, are they based on real-life people?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes and no. It is a fictional story, but there's a little bit in like for Jacobson, for example, he's kind of a combination of Arthur Ashe because of his charitable background, and Jim Brown and Ricky Williams from down your way in Texas. Guys who were who didn't want to just be known as athletes. You know, they didn't want to just be pigeonholed as football players. They had a social conscience. You know, so he's got a little bit of those guys in him. And Tom, the other main characters, sort of in some ways based on me. I've sort of used. In all the books I've done, you know, that the character of Tom has kind of grown through the books I've done. This is actually my eighth book and seven stories, and then I did a bio as well. And through the seven stories, the Tom character has sort of been me, you know, it's been sort of my doppelganger. So, but again, not like necessarily just like inspired by or, you know, things, you know, especially for Jacobson, there's not one specific player, but I tried to use like, you know, he's at the end of his career, and I kind of used or was inspired by, like, Wayne Gretzky's retirement, Chris Chelios' retirement, to some extent, Jaromir Jagr's non-retirement, you know. Some of these guys who, you know, are at the very top of the game, and how it's impossible to accept being a second-tier player. And I think in some ways that also, again, this is my goal was to make it so that, you know, again, this is dealing with athletes, and which, you know, is the 0.1% of the population. But I think everybody, no matter what your job is, you know, there's always somebody coming up, you know, a new person coming in, and maybe somebody younger, you know, who, you know, I think we've all had feelings of like trying to being replaced, no matter what it might be. Mm-hmm. It might be an industry you're in that's fading or something like that. I think everybody has that kind of fear of being replaced or being. That you can be replaced at any time. And so I wanted to kind of bring that out and show the way that Jacobson's dealing with it and not necessarily making it a negative, but making it a positive. So so I hope it's relatable as well.
Absolutely. Hockey Karma, it is filled with characters that you will cheer for on and off the ice, more than a hockey story. As Howard was just talking about, it touches on a number of different things that I think everybody can identify with. Go out and get a copy of that. The holidays are here. Great stocking stuffer. I got to get that out. And of course, it is titled Hockey Karma, and the author is Howard Shapiro. Beautifully done. Congratulations on that. And Howard, we look forward to another conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell back with you at the all new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and the NFL conversation. It is going to continue. And right now, let's pack our bags. Let's head out west and check in on the Arizona Cardinals, who are looking to get a reprieve and a bounce after that loss against the Vikings. We're delighted to welcome in on our Progressive Insurance celebrity guest line. That is Kent Somers, who covers the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL for the Arizona Republic, I should say, and the Arizona Central Sports. He, in fact, you know what? He has covered the Cardinals since 1994, and he is the author of his brand new book. I know he's so proud. 100 Things Cardinal Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And all I have to say is, Kent, is Christmas is still a month away, but my boys, they were fighting like crazy over this book. They wanted this copy.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun to do. It's gotten a good reception. A lot of Cardinal fans have enjoyed it. And it's been a great experience.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I know our listeners are going to enjoy reliving some of those amazing memories and talking about the book. But we pride ourselves on being timely and relevant as well. And so we want you to get us up to speed on your Arizona Cardinals. I know that they're going to face the Falcons and will be on the road on Sunday. But first and foremost, I mean, how is head coach Bruce Arians? How is he doing after being hospitalized with that chest pain?
Well, all indications are that he's doing well. They kept him in the hospital most of Monday, ran a bunch of tests. All of those, the Cardinals say, came out positive. He was back to work on Tuesday, and they say he expects to be on the sideline in Atlanta on Sunday. It's a worry. You know, it's the second time he's been in the hospital this season. In August, he was there with in San Diego, where he had some abdominal pain for, you know, an intestinal problem. They got a handle on that quickly, but, you know, this was a little bit scarier, I think. But by all indications, he's doing well and ready to get back to work.
Well, our Cardinals head coach, Bruce Arians, I mean, he is amazing. He's been a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. But as you had just said, I mean, this is not his first time that he's had health issues. I mean, he had prostate issues, a few years back. How concerned should we be in regards, you know, moving forward and as far as in terms of his stability?
Well, it's a concern. You know, he's often told the story of his first head coaching job at Temple in the late 80s when he was just in his 30s. And he said, I tried to do everything. And he said, the stress, he said, literally almost killed me. He said, I was hospitalized a few times. I had problems with migraines. And he said, the minute I got fired from Temple, he goes, that was the last migraine I've ever had. And he's talked a lot over the years about, you know, handling the stress, how he's better at it, needs to get better at it, et cetera. But what has happened this year makes you wonder, you know. And Larry Fitzgerald told us earlier in the week, you know, the players feel responsible for it, that the losing has taken a toll on everybody, in, you know, including Arians sitting at 4-5-1, you know, very disappointing season so far. So the players are concerned about their head coach. I know ownership, Michael Bidwell's concerned about it. So hopefully this was nothing, and he's able to get back to work and you know, and finish the season without a problem.
Kent, you have covered the Cardinals for 22 years. What is your belief? I mean, do you think that they can rediscover the magic and get back to their winning ways like they did in 2015, which was incredible?
Yeah, I don't think this year they're going to be having given any signs. 6 straight and 14, 9 straight and 15, and you know, this year no more than 2 consecutive games. So, you know, they're just too inconsistent on offense. Defense, they have occasional breakdowns. They're still ranked number one in the league defensively in terms of yards given up per game. So they're playing well enough there to win. It's the big problems are on offense, and that's a surprise.
Okay, so give us your evaluation of Carson Palmer. I mean, why has it been so difficult for him to find a rhythm and to get his groove back? Because he has really faded.
He really has. You know, some people think it's age. He turns 36 or 37. In a month, you know, there have been a lot of people opining that this is, you know, obviously the end of his career. I don't know that I really believe that. I think there has been a decline this year. His arm doesn't seem as strong, at least through the first half of the season. But I think it's been more that he's received a lot less help than he did a year ago. You know, one of his favorite receivers, John Brown, has battled health problems. Another, Michael Floyd, has had a very disappointing year in terms of just mental mistakes and drop passes. They've lost their left tackle, Jared Valdir, and their right guard, Evan Mathis. They've got backups in there now. And it's just a team that's in a tremendous rut offensively. They move the ball between the 20s, but they have a hard time scoring. And, you know, outside of running back David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, you know, nobody seems to make a big play. And it really, you know, we all keep waiting for that to turn around, but here we are about to enter the 12th week of the season, and there's been no signs that's going to happen.
It's so frustrating because they are so good defensively, and you just think back a year ago. I mean, Carson Palmer, I mean, he was in the hunt for, what, being an MVP candidate. So hopefully they can get things going and start trending in the right direction. Do you think that they miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they do. I just think it's too hard right now. The schedule was set up in such a way that they had to get off to a fast start. Five of the first seven games at home, five of the last seven on the road, and they just haven't done that. You know, they haven't, like I said earlier, they haven't beaten a good team yet. They haven't put together a full game, really. I just don't see it. I think it's too much to ask of this team. They're just not good enough.
Okay, we're going to highlight Kent Somer's brand new book right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Kent's new book is titled 100 Things Cardinal Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And you have collected some valuable pieces of trivia and some fun things for fans to add to their bucket list. Tell us about your book.
It was a lot of fun to do. You know, Triumph has done a lot of these books for different franchises, and I found out a lot about the team. Even though the Cardinals don't have a great history from a winning standpoint, it's a fascinating story how the Bidwell family acquired the team in the 30s, basically at a party on a yacht. They made a deal, you know, the older Bidwell made a deal to buy the team, to, you know, moving the team from Chicago to St. Louis to Arizona, and, you know, just a lot of a great cast of characters and people who played for the team and worked for the team, including, you know, Pat Tillman, who's, you know, number one on the list of things that, you know, people should know and do.
Hey, Kent Somers has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, author of his new book, 100 Things Cardinal Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Happy holidays. We sincerely appreciate you coming on the show, and congratulations, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What an amazing 2 hours, and I hope all of you are enjoying your Thanksgiving weekend. Blessings to you, and join us next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and connect with us at Twitter, @ERadioSports. We'll see you next week.